Happy Tuesday. This is Diarrhea Dominic D'Angelo here on Rumor and Innuendo, and I'm happy to be here with Robert Karpolis, WE Creative underscore ish on X. Robert, how are you?
Facebook's down, Instagram's down. You guys are up and you're ready to go. We're here to talk all the exciting things in the world of professional wrestling. And full disclosure, Dom sent the run sheet today. Excellent run sheet. Best run sheet he's ever sent. I have not had a chance to look at it yet, so I am flying blind. Dom, you're going to lead us here, but a couple quick things. Cool. First, Joseph Wade Walters, good morning, gents. Rumor and innuendo's ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to its newsletter, the Dynamite reference right there. And Lou4237 says, acknowledge me or don't. Your show entirely up to you. Happy Tuesday, guys. Happy Tuesday to you, Lou. Hell of a Tuesday we've got in store. Dom, where are we going?
Yeah, you might not have caught the rundown, but I'm sure you caught some of Raw there. And quite the occasions going on between Seth and Cody. We also had Drew McIntyre, always a highlight, I believe, and he's been on a great roll. We got a lot of other stuff to cover, but yeah, let's talk about Raw, Robert. What was a big standout to you? Let's just start off basic, general overlization.
Overlization. Made up a word. I give you the run sheet. You're now making up words. Yes. I think, look, here's the big takeaway that I got from Raw. Every segment on this show was moving in a direction forward to get you to WrestleMania. And I appreciate that point of it. Opening with Cody and Cody still trying to reassemble this house of cards, this weird booking decision of him going out there and reneging on his opportunity against Roman, then taking it back, then trying to make it make sense. This is like Christopher Nolan level Inception. I liked how he was laying that out. Rollins came out. I found Rollins a lot less compelling. I think Rollins's narrative worked a lot less. And the Diarrhea Dwayne nickname is on WrestleRoast at the opening of our show. We have clips of some of the more embarrassing moments in wrestling history. This is right up there with them. This was the kind of weird Vince era bad scripting stuff that I thought we were away from. It did not land with the audience. It did not land online. Dom, did the diarrhea land with you?
No, I had to take some Pepto-Bismol after that one. It was bad times. Did not like it. It felt out of place. You know, you think about the two promos, the two great promos that The Rock cut on Friday. 20 minutes apiece, basically. And then you have a whole weekend to come up with something to really lay it down. You don't even really need to call Rock a nickname or anything like that. You can comment on other stuff. It took me out of the element of it, I think. And it did not sit well. Are you guys going to put that in your new intro, though?
I have no idea how to do any of that technical stuff. That'd be our producer, Zach, if he wants to go ahead and splice that stuff in there. I just show up. I turn a camera on. I have a microphone plugged in. I'm just here. And speaking of microphones, I don't know if Cody and Seth are aware, but Monday Night Raw is a televised program, and they have microphones in their hands. So when they're saying, we're going to go to SmackDown to answer the Rock and Roman challenge, you can just do it right there. Like, you know, be budget conscious in this new TKO environment. You don't need to fly all the way out there. We know what they're going to say. We know what's going to happen. And based on the end of Raw, it seems like we're setting up that we will see Seth and Cody most likely taking on Jimmy Uso and Solo in the near future. I'm not mad about that. I'm also not mad about the fact that, Dom, we were the prognosticator of prognosticators yesterday when it came to the preview, and we said Drew versus Jay most likely going to involve Jimmy Uso. We also said that the Nia Jax Becky Lynch match was going to involve Liv Morgan. So we were two for two, man. We should go buy some water. I'm going to give you credit
for that. I said not a thing. It was all you, Robert.
It's almost like you were
a former writer at WWE.
It's almost like I've sat in the room and have written this stuff before. But what I love is I'm now just, I'm thinking, hey, what's the most logical next step? And they're doing it now. And that's what makes it so much fun to watch the show. It's outside of the diarrhea comment, it's not insulting my intelligence.
Not at all. Like, there's a lot, just little aspects that I really like. I love, you know, Adam Pearce, the presence he brings, where he's just like a matter of fact authority figure that's like, all right, we're going by the rules. This is what I'm doing. Yeah, I'll meet you out there, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the other little aspect too. After Becky and the match she had with Nia Jax, backstage he encounters Liv Morgan, and they made that compelling, that like kind of thing, like, you know, where, okay, let's fight next week. We're going to fight about it next week. And there you go. It's just like little aspects like that really get you invested into this like journey towards WrestleMania, whether it's the high card stuff or middle of the card stuff or anything there is. It's a really well-rounded show right now.
It's weekly episodic television. And they've always said that. They used to say that. It used to be at the top of our run sheets. We would always tell Cole, the longest running weekly episodic yes. You know, action, adventure, sports, and entertainment program on television. The idea of an episodic nature is from episode to episode, things build, things make sense. They're going somewhere. And for a while, the erratic booking, the last second decisions of Vince McMahon, the whims, the flights of fancy, what you had laid out, what you had planned, suddenly vanishes. And you're not seeing that now in the Triple H era. And I appreciate that significantly. And it's why watching the shows overall are that much more fun. They're also having fun toying with audience expectations. And I think we saw that with this Imperium Judgment Day feud. Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I'm not a fan of heel, but Dom and Gunther was a good time. Did you enjoy that match, Dom?
That might've been actually my favorite match on the show. Actually, it's just like such a contrasting styles and physicality looking and everything, like physical nature. And like, it's very strange because like Gunther is a heel, and like, you're almost, when Dom is doing all this stuff and everything like that and kind of trying to fight on and stuff like that, he's almost feels like a baby face. But then when you hear the crowd reaction, it's like, nope. Right. So I am appreciating it. And it's just a ripple in the effect of, you know, there's a lot of predictability, which nothing wrong with, but there's this added element of like, hey, what is going on here exactly? You know,
how's this we're building. I like the little moment after when they had Judgment Day in the locker room and you have Rhea trying to comfort Dom. it weaves in well. It moved to this gauntlet match. We talked about a number of the different names that we knew were going to be in the mix for the Intercontinental title. It looks like that's pretty well solidified that we'll get that gauntlet match next week. I don't see any reason not to go with Sami Zayn, but I'm curious if there was a guy you thought would be a more intriguing matchup.
You know, I'm really invested in almost Chad Gable. Like, I like the confrontation he had with Gunther backstage. He really made his case where he's just like, you know, I'm doing this for me, and I'm taking your smile and putting it on my daughter's face and things like that. So I think just the contrasting looks of those guys, you know, the size difference and everything like that, and what Chad Gable has shown he's capable of doing from like all the massive German suplexes and stuff like that. It's just, I almost want to see Chad Gable and Gunther, I think, at Mania. So that's probably where I'm at.
There's a story to tell, but I don't see Gable being the one to upend Gunther, just because we've seen the match. We've seen it a couple of times. If they really wanted to go that route, you had your emotional payoff. Interesting comment here from Kevin Abreu with a nice Miami Heat logo.
Yes.
It's a long time. I actually own a Heat jersey.
I do too.
Lonzo Mourning jersey. This is back when the Heat were important. Tim Hardaway, Vishon Leonard. Going a totally separate direction here. Mid-90s NBA.
Let's keep going.
Kevin said, NBA. I don't understand why WWE doesn't break up the tag team champions, one for both brands. I like that there's a unified tag title, just because historically they've not been great at building up a number of intriguing tag teams. And I like the portability of those tag titles, that now you can have Judgment Day on Raw or SmackDown. If they fall into the hands of the Bloodline, you now have another reason for the Bloodline to be able to go from show to show. It's a rarity right now that there are probably 12 really good tag teams in WWE. I've been there when there were 3 tag teams total, and you're just like, how do we come up with this? So I like that there's something unique about the tag titles versus everything else for both the men's and the women's side. I know they're building the women's tag title match. I think that's going to be next week. they announced that.
I think so. I think yeah.
Which will be good. And we also got the strange debut of Andrade until you heard, you could tell someone was in Cole's ear. Which is like, it's Andrade's debut. And Hunter's like, we don't have to pretend that, like, it's not Vince World. Like, no, we've seen this guy. Sucked for Apollo. Felt bad. I like Apollo Crews.
I know. And, you know, it's like, the crowd was like kind of getting into it at some points, but ultimately it just was like, it almost felt like a filler match where I was like, I was intrigued to see. I was like, man, this is going to be a compelling bout between these two guys that are really talented. And, you know, I'm excited to see Andrade show back up and kind of set a tone. And, you know, I think they're building a story with him in Judgment Day and stuff like that. That's intriguing. And I love his body language and stuff like that. But yeah, it's kind of a bummer for Apollo Crews because, yeah, you want to see a little bit more from him and the talent that he has, you know.
I think, you know, Andrade's body of work is really impressive. And if you want your body of work be really impressive, can we recommend our friends at Blue Chew? Yes, guys, today's episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Let's talk about sex. Remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you are approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. Because, guys, Blue Chew wants to help you have better sex. If I spoke fluent Spanish, I would do it in the Andrade style. My Spanish, after 3 years of doing it, I got nothing. The Blue Chew is not going to help you with your Spanish, but you know what it's going to help you with? It's going to help you with your quality time in the bedroom with your partner when you go one-on-one with the great one. Discover your options at BlueChew.com. Chew it and do it. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code Rumor at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code Rumor to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring this episode of Rumor and Innuendo. Unlike Facebook and Twitter, you won't be down.
You won't be down, no. Yes, thank you, Blue Chew. Something else I wanted to touch upon too with Raw. The aspect that they mentioned, they thanked Sting and congratulated him on his retirement and everything like that.
I thought it was hallucinating.
Yeah, right? It was, and like Pat McAfee also mentioned, he watched the match. So
yes, they thanked Sting. They said he had a hell of a match the night before. I texted my buddies in my like Wrestle Roast group chat, and I'm like, "What universe are we in? What is happening here?" I like it.
Me too.
I like it for a couple of reasons, and this is part of it's going to be me being the cynical jerk. So relax.
I think I know where you're going, but let me hear it.
Tony Khan, who we have nothing but the utmost love and respect for, and we're very happy that Dominic D'Angelo gets to ask questions on those Tony Khan press conferences. I've spoken to people where they've been not allowed to do that anymore, hypothetically, theoretically, maybe previously in the box. But Tony wants there to be this intense war between WWE and AEW. This is a blood war. These people have gone after him when he was at his mom's hospital bed and they were trying to undercut him and they're constantly taking his talent. And then WWE completely destroys that narrative by saying, hey, Sting wrestled here. We own 95% of Sting's watchable career. All due respect to TNA. Congratulations, Sting, on a hell of a career. It was a great match. We don't see you as competition, but when the wrestling industry is hot across the board, a rising tide lifts all boats. They had the TNA folks in the Royal Rumble. I like this. I like this that we're not just putting blinders on and pretending that there's not a broader wrestling world, but you're talking about it where there was a legitimate newsworthy moment. One of my friends had brought this up, that they wish that when wrestlers pass away, there'd be more freedom to share the footage in that instance. I get not giving AEW footage of Sting for his retirement match. You don't want to use your intellectual property for somebody else's profit. But in the instance where somebody does pass away, you want to be able to make that more, that complete video package, and really be able to do a tribute to him. And WWE owns the lion's share of the wrestling footage that exists out there in the world. I liked it. It felt genuine. It felt like Pat McAfee actually watched this show and was like, he went through glass. This is crazy. So I'm all for it. I'm glad you caught that and brought that up too on this run sheet that clearly, guys, I have read and studied, and I'm totally plugged in on.
Well, like, you, to your point, Robert, it's like, yeah, they kind of take the barriers off there. And even in the Andrade match, they mentioned his background in CMLL, you know, and not afraid to kind of embrace that thing. It's refreshing to see. And, you know, for somebody like Sting that it has a historic legacy in pro wrestling and everything, like, it felt right to do that, and it felt good that they did it too. So hats off to WWE for doing it. I like
this comment here from Fantasy Booker T, which is just a great wordplay.
Look at that.
He said Sting Legends deal coming. I wouldn't be surprised if they try to strike some sort of a Legends licensing deal. I think that Sting is one of those guys where you can potentially bifurcate it. He can have AEW merch and WWE merch if they really want to go that path. We're seeing the mentioning of Flair more often, even though he's on AEW programming. They freely mentioned both Jim Ross and Taz, Cole on commentary, when he was wearing those antlers. And then when they were talking about the Paul Heyman induction, that he's going to be the first inductee, which we broke yesterday live on the air. There's a question here from William Thornbrew. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Who would you have induct Paul Heyman into the Hall of Fame? Dom, since you happen to work with an ECW legend, who comes top of mind to you as someone you would want to see induct Heyman?
I mean, I would really like to see RVD. I think he could, he encapsulates what ECW was, and really was the big star that came out of that all. And I know Rob, even off the top of his head, he could come up with something great that's really stand out and special for somebody like Paul Heyman. Another name, I don't want to cover everybody, but like Tommy Dreamer obviously feels like a good one too, who shows a lot of that passion and care for ECW and everything. So those would be my top two picks, I think, Robert.
Tommy would be fun, but the problem is the Hall of Fame can only last for one day, and his speech would go at least three. I think, knowing where WWE is right now in a world where Brock Lesnar does not exist and where you do not want Roman Reigns talking in front of that audience, I think the most interesting person is CM Punk. The quintessential Paul Heyman guy. Punk was in OVW working under Paul Heyman when I was there, and we were seeing that maturation of what Punk was able to do. Clearly, Heyman helped guide his career. It's also interesting because you're further teasing that whole idea of where does Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman lie in terms of their allegiances? The Hall of Fame has become a little more storyline-ish. I don't love that, but I get it. And I think if Paul is willing to accept being inducted in the Hall of Fame, he's going to make the most of that moment. And I think CM Punk on that stage while he's injured, you can hype the hell at him, sell some tickets. That's standing room only in the back. People are going to want to see that.
What would you think about Steve Austin?
Austin's another interesting one because Steve Austin, in a parallel universe, if Bill Watts and all those geniuses that were running WCW at various points in time, pizza executives and whatnot, Mr. Jim Hurd, but if they would have seen what they had with the Dangerous Alliance, where you had Paul Heyman and Rick Rude, and Medusa was obviously in there, Arn Anderson, ad-free shows, compatriot. And if Heyman had the ability to have the input on creative, I think they would have been able to strap the rocket to Steve Austin and figure out that formula. So I think Austin and Heyman were a hell of a pair then. Steve Austin getting that platform in ECW for that short window of time and showing that he can talk, he can be raw, all, no pun intended, about what his characterization is, and show that he does have a real personality. Steve would be a really fascinating one, because they do sometimes tease that idea of, yes, Steve was part of ECW. We saw that at the first One Night Stand.
Yeah.
I'll be curious, because we don't know who else is going to be inducted into the hall.
Yeah, well, there's a rumor or a report, I guess, coming from Wrestling Observer Radio that potentially maybe an inductee could be Haku. So how about that? It makes sense. Tama Tonga may coming heading towards WWE, the legacy, you know, bloodline, you know, all those ties that Haku Ming has, plus just one of the toughest wrestlers in the business, notoriously, and legitimately. So that would be a great addition, I think, to this class. I think
Haku would be an incredible asset. I think the advantage with Haku is he's someone that legitimate fans would be excited to see. He has not been a major presence of late. I know he's in the new season of Dark Side of the Ring. Yes. There's this incredible clip of him seeing the Shockmaster for the first time and laughing in this sweet, innocent way that is somehow more terrifying. I don't know if that's even possible, but I have heard a lot of stories about Haku / Ming. I know Arn on his second Arn Anderson plug. We should
Paul Bromwell. Let's keep going. I love Arn.
Bromwell better be throwing us some extra yeah. Send us the copy of the graphic novel. We'll take a look at that and put that thing over. Arn always talks about how Ming would still be world champion to this day if wrestling was a legit sport. He's awesome. He's wildly entertaining. And yes, it fits perfectly within this bloodline narrative. And it's Philly. Like, Philly is a blood and guts town. No one is going to risk booing Ming.
That's a very excellent point. Yeah, why would you? Hey, somebody that's not booing somebody is John Cena's not booing MJF.
That was a hell of a transition.
Thanks.
I don't even know how you did that.
So Cena spoke with a friend of the show, Chris Van Vliet. And he happened to talk about meeting MJF at the Iron Claw premiere here. I have the quote real quick that I will read. Sports entertainment is a finicky business. And again, there's a lot of chances to make moments. This is one of their top performers for AEW, and I don't know if I'm going to be the target of a moment. I'm just there to support my friend in a movie. He couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been more cordial. We met each other and I got pulled away to take some pictures. And then we were about to go do everything else before I even got to you. And I was like, hold on, give me 2 minutes. I shook his hand. I said, man, I'm so sorry. Excuse my ignorance. I didn't know what to expect from you today. You're a class act. And I can't believe you're as professional as you are. That's just my ignorance. I'm sorry I had that judgment. I want to thank you for being so special. Thank you for making my night. Then we got back and I was able to talk to him more. And I was kind of like, maybe we can get you to play for the right team one day and all that. There's no denying that the fact that he's doing good work. And I don't think I should ignore that. Honestly, I was floored by his professionalism. Robert, MJF, I know he's signed to another contract with AEW, but it'd be nice to see him play for another team almost, huh?
I have been rooting for MJF to be in Stamford, Connecticut since the moment that I met him. And I said, you are going to be in WWE someday and you are going to make a lot of money. I understand why he signed with AEW at the time that he did. WWE at that point was not signing talent under a certain age. That was a restriction that was in place due to some maturity issues with some of the people that were already in NXT. I know that, you know, Max has been open on air talking about some of the William Regal stuff, and there's a lot of truth to it. John Cena and MJF are two of the most consummate professionals I've ever worked with. Cena is every bit the real deal that you see. There's a reason there's not a lot of bad stories out there about John Cena, because John Cena is a guy who shows up. He is professional. He puts in the work. He thanks everyone on the crew that he is spending time with, and he always delivers. MJF, he's an asshole. He is a terrible person.
Horrible.
He is someone who will hit a small child in the nuts. He will flick off your parents. He will spill liquor on you. Potentially, theoretically, maybe, in some parallel universe, one of the nicest, most professional human beings on the planet. Again, pretend like alternate universe, like multiverse of madness. Yes. Multiverse MJF
yes.
would be that guy, and I can completely see why Cena and Max would get along. I would love to see MJF in WWE at some point in the slightly near future, but that's a growing list of folks that I would like to see in WWE that are over on the other channel, Dom.
Look, yeah, I mean, some of the names that have get thrown around here and like just in the news cycle recently over Revolution weekend here was Ricky Starks and his contract and where he stood exactly. Tony clarified that he's still under contract. We love Ricky Starks. You know, he's still All Elite, but he's got those ties to Cody. Like Cody recruited him, brought him into AEW. He's friends with Jade Cargill too, I believe. And you see what
he is.
The platform has been for both those guys from Jade and Cody. It would somebody like him would make a lot of sense for WWE to kind of scoop up if they get the opportunity. Wardlow just has that presence, you know. Is it too little too late with AEW and Wardlow and how they've handled him?
Yes.
Wait, I guess.
Oh, so, sorry. Yeah. We were supposed to pretend that wasn't the case. Starks is a guy I see glimpses of what they see, but there is very much this feeling of he is a guy playing wrestler while trying to put it together and figure it out. I think he has the tools to be able to build and become something great. I don't think he's quite at that level. And I think he is someone who would absolutely benefit from the Performance Center and NXT. And as NXT moves to the CW, I don't know if you guys have heard of the CW. It's a network that occasionally airs some wrestling-related programming.
Yeah.
He's a good face to put on there. Looks good on a poster, captivating. You can give him a microphone. People are going to want to watch him. Wardlow is the can't-miss prospect that they have missed on four times so far.
Yeah.
And I hope that he gets a chance to show his stuff in this current run. I think that we're probably going to get him and Joe potentially at Destiny, which would be an interesting show if they go that route. Dynasty, six of one, half dozen the other. he's going to be there with that sickly child in the wheelchair, Adam Cole. But I would love to see Wardlow and what WWE could do with him if they were able to really mold and shape that guy. He clearly can talk. He clearly has the physique. He can get better in the ring. Those are the check marks that they have, and WWE's had a lot of success with it. And it's not to knock AEW. I think part of the problem that there is with their system is you're not getting a ton of reps. You are at TV once, maybe twice a week. There are no house shows. There is no school. There's no training facility. There's no place for these guys to get those day in and day out reps. So if you're only getting that FaceTime once, twice a week with people, your ability to grow is stagnant, and you're on a major stage. You're on TBS. You're on TNT. You're on pay-per-view. The margin of error is minuscule. It is the head of a pin. Yeah. So there are some guys who could absolutely benefit from being different environment, different situation.
Yeah, I mean, and Arn, to bring him up again, he mentioned how Brock needs a lot of reps. His son Brock.
Yes, he does.
And he talked about like trying to get out there and get, you know, and like, you know, AEW had, you know, that mainstream platform, but not enough time for people to get in the ring there. So,
well, they had Dark and Dark Elevation, and they got rid of that in order to do the Ring of Honor.
Right.
And they haven't really done much with Ring of Honor other than making it part of their taping. I thought for sure that Ring of Honor was going to keep its buildings and keep its touring route. And I would have used that to help build some of those younger guys.
Absolutely.
Not everybody has a dad like Arn Anderson to help them, even though Arn looks like most people's dads.
Yes. Brock does too.
Brock looks 10 years older than me.
I know, right? I'm like wanting to ask him for fatherly advice sometimes. But
we don't have time to ask about fatherly advice, Don, because we are out of time today. Fastest half hour in all of pro wrestling, shorter than a Roman Reigns entrance. But Dom, if the fine folks want to find you elsewhere, where can they get you?
Yes, find me at rvdtv.com. That's where you get one of a kind with RVD, where me and Rob chop it up. We talk about plenty of things. We cover Ole Anderson. We cover Virgil this week. Really great stories on both those guys this week too. And hey, today dropped Straight Talk with the Boss, Gagne and Magnum. We talked about Ole Anderson was the main feature of the episode, but cover a lot of ground from modern wrestling to everything like that. Go to GagneandMagnum.com to subscribe to that. Hey, WrestleMania week's coming up too. I will be there in Philly. And you know what? I'm going to try to get some exclusive content here for Rumor and Innuendo. So we'll see what happens when that all pans out. Robert, what do you got cooking, my friend?
I am not going to be in Philly, but I would love to be in Philly, but I have other commitments elsewhere, but Dom will be around town. You guys can go up to him, say hi, take a picture with him, see how incredibly bald he is in real life.
I'm very bald.
You can catch my other podcast, Wrestle Roast, every Friday, wherever you get podcasts, which is the same place you can listen to Rumor and Innuendo. You can go back into the archives and actually hear. We had Chavo Guerrero on before and talked to him about his thoughts on the MJF John Cena interaction. Mm-hmm. So you can get it from a couple of different perspectives. From our perspective, you can catch us on Podcast Heat's X account, Dominic D'Angelo's X account, the SE Scoops S account, the WWE Creative underscore ISH X account, Rumor and Innuendo has an X account. Boy, everybody's got an X account here. What can I tell you? And we're also on the ad-free shows and Rumor and Innuendo YouTube. Make sure you subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Throw up a nice review. We like we like positivity here. We like that affirmation. So on behalf of the affirmative, Dominic D'Angelo, I'm Robert Karpeles. Best of luck in your future endeavors.